Okay, we're starting today, Be'ez Hashem, Hilchos Bishul. Simon Shin Yud Ches, on page Kuf Lamed Gimel, Chele Gimel. Page Kuf Lamed Gimel, and we're now starting Simon Shin Yud Ches, Din HaMavashel B'Shabbos. Now the truth is, Sif Aleph is not actually about Bishul. It mentions Bishul, but it's not really about Bishul at all, as we're going to see. But before we get into that, we're going to see, we'll read the Shulchan Aruch, and we'll see what it is about. And then we will see an introduction of the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, Hamavashel B'Shabbos, Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Aleph, Hamavashel B'Shabbos, person who cooks on Shabbos, I mean, he cooked on Shabbos, or she asa achav misha melachos, or he did any one of the other melachos on Shabbos. So if he did it, b'meizid, if he intentionally cooked on Shabbos, knowing that there's an issa to do so, asa loy la'olam, he is never allowed to eat the food or benefit from the melacha that he did, or la'chirim, and other people, mutter lemotzei Shabbos miyad, they can use or eat the food immediately after Shabbos. So he can never use it ever again, but the other people cannot use it on Shabbos, but may use it immediately after Shabbos. That's if he did it intentionally. But one level down from that is if he did it b'shoigig, he did it inadvertently, he forgot it was Shabbos or forgot that you're not allowed to do this. So b'shoigig, asa boi b'yoim gam la'achirim. Then it's asa to others as well, I mean to everyone on Shabbos itself. So that's the same as meizid. No one can use it on Shabbos. On page 266 now. Ula erev muta gamloi miyad. And when it comes to the end of Shabbos now, straight after Shabbos, both he and everyone else are allowed to use it. And it just says in parentheses in the Ramah, v'im amalein yehudi la'asos lo'i melacha b'Shabbos, ayin le'el simon shin zayin sif chof. As in terms of when a person in a prohibited manner asked a goy to do melacha of him on Shabbos, look in Shin Zayin, we spoke about what the result will be, whether you can benefit from that melacha. Okay, back to page Kuf Lamed Gimel. Says the Mishnah Berurah, again, he gives us like a long introduction before he actually starts the subject over here. There's an introduction to the Meleches Bishul. Hamavashel, says the Mishnah Berurah in Aleph, Echad Hamavashel Es HaMachal, Oyeh Samimonim, Oyeh Mechames HaMayim, whether a person cooked food or he cooked herbs like to make dye like they did in the Mishkan, or he heated up water. After Mayim Roy Lishtia B'Loi Bishul V'Adin Cholav, even though it might be true that both water and milk even are drinkable before you cook them, meaning even uncooked you can drink them. So what really have you gained by cooking them? Nevertheless, if a person would cook these things which anyway edible raw, it would be a melacha d'oraisa. Kerin d'mishtabeach al yedei habishul, because it improves through the cooking. So that's the Mishnah Berurah's approach to explain a bigger picture, a bigger shaila. But he's coming to tell us that even when you've cooked something that's edible uncooked, you are still doing a melacha d'oraisa. Ve'echad ha'oifer es hapas, and whether a person baked bread, right, all of this whole long list here we just said, hakol inin echadu, it's all the same thing. It's all the same part of the same melacha. Whether you bake, whether you cook, well, what's the difference? Da'afiyahu me'inyan bishul. Because baking is really part of the melacha of bishul. Ela sha'afiyahu bepas uvishulhu b'shari dvarim. It's just that baking is done to bread and cooking is done to other things. You might want to make a difference in the liquid medium. When you bake, there's no liquid medium. When you cook, there is a liquid medium. But they are all considered to be under the melacha of bishul. Now, the melacha of bishul is not actually listed as bishul in the Mishnah and Shabbos. It's listed as oifer. Even though that oifer wasn't done in the Mishkan, what was done when they boiled up the herbs to make the dyes? So why does it say oifer and not bishul? Gemara asks that question. The Gemara answers, it tells you the order of making bread, and number 10 in the order of making bread is baking. So it tells you baking, even though really what really happened in the Mishkan was cooking, but it's really all the same thing anyway. So it doesn't make much difference. Okay.
Where in the stuff?
I'm sorry, what?
That
what? Speak the Ayin Dalet. Hamatich echad mimine matchos koshu in Shabbos. A person who melts a metal, any amount of metal, or he heats up metal until it becomes like a coal. However, to let this mevashel, that is under the malacha of mevashel, told of mevashel. Shehari bechimumoy hu mevakechoy. Because by heating up, he softens it, and now it's more malleable that he can make it into a kli. He can hammer it into shape, let's say, when it's heated up. Hot metal. Go to a blacksmith, that's what they do. Right? And he's softening something which is hard, and softening something which is hard is called the malacha of bishul. A person who melts doinag, which is a type of wax. If you melt wax, or if a chalev or animal fat, or if a zephyr, or a kofer, pitch, tar, a guffith, or sulfur, with geotzebehem, if you melt any of these things, it's also part of the melacha of mevashel, and he bechayv for any things we've listed so far today. V'chein, a mevashel, kli adama, achiyasu cheres, or a person takes an earthen utensil and heats it up until it becomes earthenware, right? You put it in a kiln, K-I-L-L-N, you put it in a kiln to fire it up, and there you are doing a malacha when you do so. Chayev mishum mevashel, there's also malacha mevashel. Even though you're taking something soft and making it hard, so why is that called mevashel? Because before he said it's only taking something hard and making it soft. So why is this mevashel? Because before it actually strengthens and becomes hard, like a hard earthenware thing in the kiln, the mud, the soft liquidy mud, gets cooked in, and that cooking of that mud is considered to be malacha d'oraisa b'bishul. You take a piece of wood and throw it into an oven to dry it out. So you're taking something which doesn't look like necessarily cooking, but it is. Why is it cooking? Since, and the Gemara speaks this out, since when you put the piece of wood into the oven, it first softens, and then afterwards, it means you soften and the moisture comes out, that is the malacha of Bishul. So here's the rule. Klal Shadova. Most of this he's taking for the Rambam. Klal Shadova. Ben Sheripa Guf Kasha Beish, or Shehiksha Guf Rach, whether you soften a hard thing with fire, or whether you harden something which is soft, that will be malach the rice of mevashel. Again, there's a whole deal. If you take something soft and make it hard, is it really bishel or not? That's what the Rambam seems to say. Yes, but the whole machlekes and the how to understand the Rambam. But the bottom line is, any of these processes where you make something hard from something with soft, or vice versa, that is mevashel. If you think about baking, you take a soft dough and make it hard, that looks like you've actually taking things and making it hard is mevashel, but okay, we'll leave that question. The alkane. So we're now on the last narrow line of page Kuflam and Gil. The alkane yesh lizayim ma'oich laniach etzim lachim ala tanor leyabsham achas shkiyas achamad. You should be very careful not to take pieces of wood that are moist and put them on top of the oven to dry them out when it's already after sunset of Friday night. Do chashash deraisa, because you could well be doing a malacha deraisa. If a person took meat and put it on top of coals to roast, if it roasted a full roasting, which is all the way through, the amount of meat, the area of the size of a goyges, which is a dried fig, it will be a malacha d'oraisa. And even if that amount of cooked meat is not all in one place on the meat, but it's a little bit here, a little bit there, and you could peel off that area or cut off that area of the meat and put it all together to the size of a goygeres, you'd also be chayav. It doesn't have to all be in one place on the meat. And even if it didn't fully roast, it only roasted to the level of Machu Ben Dusai we discussed in Rishon Gimel. Machu Ben Dusai. Ben Dusai was a famous bandit who always was eating on the run, so he didn't cook his food properly, and the machlokes were showing him whether he roasted it a third cooked or a half cooked, and therefore machlokes what it's called. So even if you took a piece of meat and you roasted it to the degree of Macha Ben Dusai, which means it's minimally edible, you could eat it al de atchak, if you had to, you'd eat it, you wouldn't really want to, but Gam Kein Chayev, that would also be a Melacha Deraisa. But the fact that it's not fully roasted, has to be roasted all the way through beforehand. I mentioned the phrase wrongly. Beforehand, when we talk about Sliya Gemur, it didn't mean all the way through. It means on one side of the meat, but it's fully roasted. Here we're talking about, since it's only partially roasted, it's half roasted, it needs to be going all the way through the meat to be considered chayev. Vimlav pata, otherwise it would be a drabon. Now, all these details are all very fascinating when it comes to a chi of chatas, when a person chayav a korban, but lemaisa, any of these acts are nisah deraisa to do. So even if you got away with it because it didn't roast fully or whatever, you should know that you've done a nisah deraisa. So there's no actual bearing in terms of halacha lemaisa now, in this way. Because the olinin chatas, as we're going to point out now, this whole discussion has been about when a person is chayav a korban chatas. When did he do a full malacha with a full shear? Aval isur yesh b'chol gavni, but there's definitely an issa in any of these cases. Definitely an issa. V'chein might be an issa deraisa, depending if you say chatzis shiur asa min haTorah, whatever, big sugya, but it's definitely an issa to roast to any degree, in any amount, in any way, part of it, a piece of meat. V'chein ma'ashikosa v'ramba mitchila le'inyan And also when the Rambam said earlier that the shear to be chayev for roasting meat is the size of a dried fig, that's also when it comes to being chayev an act tax for being a korban for it. But for sure, there's an issur d'oraisa in any type of roasting we've been discussing, any amount, because the kaimalan, as we've established, as I mentioned a minute ago, chatsi shear, asim la teira, even to do part of the amount that makes a person chayev a chatas would be an issur d'oraisa. Okay, now we get to discuss the actual subject matter of this sif, which is what's called Maisa Shabbos, when a person did a malacha on Shabbos, Doraisa, Dorabonon, Mezid, Shoigig, all the possibilities, and what, as a result, can he then benefit from the malacha that he did or not? That's a discussion of Sif Aleph, and a bit in after it as well. So we learned that a person who cooked on Shabbos, says the Mishnah Berurah Sif Kon Beis, V'kol Sheyesh Safek plugta bazeh. Now here's a big yesod in the concept of Maisa Shabbos. When do we give a penalty that you can't benefit from the malacha? When there's no machlekes. But if there's a machlekes over whether what he did was actually asa or not, the machlekes is showing him, is this asa, this mutter, for example, then ihavi bechlal bishul olav, whether this particular act you did was considered to be bishul or not, or the same type of idea when it comes to other malachas, when it's actually a machlokes rather than everyone agreeing it's a malacha. Then if a person did do that, he's not allowed to do it, but if he did do this act, since the machlokes, whether he actually did anything wrong, we're not going to apply the penalty that you can't benefit from it for the rest of Shabbos. Because the whole issa of benefiting from the malacha itself is a drabonon. It's a rabbinic penalty, right? They're penalizing midrabonon. And since it's a suffix whether they're going to apply the penalty because we don't know if he did a malacha or not, therefore, it was fake to have on the color. Yeah, you get the idea? It's a pima garden. You get the idea that maybe the malacha itself might be a deraisa, but in terms of whether we penalize him, that's derabonon, because the penalty is derabonon. And therefore, whether or not he requires that, it deserves that penalty, if it's a machlokes, so suffix derabonon lakula, we won't apply the penalty. Could you just throw out one example? The person poured boiling water from a kli rishon. You had a pot of water or an urn that's hot from the fire, and you poured it onto raw food. Then the machlokes is showing him whether it cooked or not. Oh, but range of opinions. Either it didn't cook at all, or it cooked completely, or the outer layer cooked, which is how we paskin. Right? You're not supposed to pour hot water on it because it will cook the outer layer. Now, but the first opinion I mentioned was, which is the Rashbam, is that it doesn't cook at all. In which case, if a person did that on Shabbos, you wouldn't say that he can't eat the food because the machlekes was showing him whether it was even necessary to do in the first place. And therefore, we don't apply the knas of Maaser Shabbos. All right, let's do a quick, fast-talking example. All right, Siv Cotton Gimel. Oh, sorry, Prima Gordon, we bring in the brackets here. Prima Gordon, Boise, Yud, Kain, Zekos, Magen Avram, etc., etc., Sochian. Okay, Siv Cotton Gimel. He did either Bishul or Achas Mishah Malachas, or one of the other Malachas of the Torah. So now here's the question. What if the Aveira that he did was he did a Malacha Drabbanon, a rabbinic Issa on Shabbos? So what do we do now about the penalty? Do we say you can't use the rest of Shabbos? The Gra wants to prove that at least if it was done b'shoigeg, a drabbanon, which he did b'shoigeg, he didn't know this act of a drabbanon, or he forgot, and he did it, so he did a b'shoigeg, then, says the Vilna Gaon, everyone would agree that you're allowed to benefit from what you did, immediately, on Shabbos. I'm b'alocha, it's a machlekes, whatever the b'alocha means actually a machlekes, but this is the Vilna Gaon that he's passing like. Everyone got the idea? If your person did a drabbanon b'shoigeg on Shabbos, there is no knas according to the Vilna Gaon, and that's how the Mishnah Berurah has been. We don't penalize him and say you can't use the rest of Shabbos. Sivkot and Dalet, La'olam. Again, the person who cooked, let's say, for example, he cooked intentionally, he can never eat this item. Le'anath Moisim Malacha. The Kansu Rabbanon, because the Rabbanon gave a penalty. But from the value of the Malacha, he can benefit. So let's say he cooked a piece of meat intentionally. Well, you can't eat that piece of meat ever. But you could sell it and use the money. That's the Chiddush. According to Mishnah Berurah, sell it for its full value, and you can use the money. There's other opinions, but that's Mishnah Berurah. Yep. Kosam Magan Avon B'Shem Arashba. The Gamma Kadeira, here's a Chiddush. The Gamma Kadeira Shebishol Ba B'Shabbos Asur Lo Levashel Ba Mipnei Shehi Blua Midava Asa Loi. Now, that means to say, if a person on Shabbos took a pot and cooked a piece of meat in it, you should know that not only the meat Asa to eat, but the pot needs kashering, because the pot now contains belios, absorptions of the pirated meat. So this guy who's never allowed to eat the meat can never use the pot without kashering it. Other people could, after Shabbos, but he can't, because they absorb Issa. Just like the meat Issa forever, so the absorptions are Issa forever without kashering it. After Shabbos, yeah. Because it follow the pot will follow the rules of the meat. So just like other people can eat the meat after Shabbos, so other people can use the pot after Shabbos. He cannot use it without kashering it. Right? Interesting. V'dafka hamavashel aboi avamavashel acholim mutares b'chakadei. But you should know that that's only because you cooked for a healthy person. But if you cooked for a person who's sick, which is pikach nefesh, then the pot does not become asa. Siv cotton hay. I think I have to speed up a bit. Siv cotton hay. So we saw in the Shulchan Aruch that for other people, if he cooked intentionally, other people are allowed to have it straight after Shabbos. Straight after Shabbos is the chiddush, right? Not just after Shabbos, but straight after Shabbos. But afilu lemishin espasha b'shvilo, even if the one who he cooked it for, again, not the cook, but the person who cooked it for, is allowed to eat it straight after Shabbos. So like ba'inan lehamtin b'kadei sheyasu ela b'malachah shenasa l'dein yehudi b'shvil yisrael, we only apply the penalty of what's called kadei sheyasu, which means waiting the amount of time after Shabbos that it would have taken to do the malacha. Let's say he cooked for 2 hours on Shabbos, you'd have to wait 2 hours after Shabbos. That's called kadei sheyasu. We only apply that when a goy did a malacha for a Jew. On Shabbos, mishum dekar be'enav issa d'amir la'ibad gilulim, because a person, a Jew, views lightly the issa of telling a goy to do malacha because he's not physically doing anything himself. But yavol asoif came pam acheres, and he might be tempted to again tell the goy to do malacha kadesh yemuchan lo matzis shabbos miyad. He said to the goy, "I want to have my hamburger straight after Shabbos, so cook it for me on Saturday afternoon." Right? He might be tempted to do that, and therefore we have to penalize him that he shouldn't be able to eat it straight after Shabbos. Avad davar shenase al yedei yisrael b'yadayim, but something was done by a Jew himself with his own hands. Vaday leka lemeichesh al yedei ver. We're not for sure not concerned that if we allow him to use it straight after Shabbos, should natan matzis shabbos miyad yavoy pam acheres lemali yisrael levashu lo b'shabbos b'shul ver, that he might be tempted next week to tell a Jew to cook for him on Friday after, on Saturday afternoon. Because Jews don't listen to Jews. When a Jew tells another Jew to cook, the second Jew won't listen. Right? Meaning, we're not worried he's going to do that. And furthermore, that the second Jew won't listen to him anyway. Because the person doesn't sin for someone else's sake. Okay, another case. Im haya b'matzah Shabbos, Yom Tov. Let's say it was Yom Tov on Saturday night. Matzah Shabbos. Avila b'shal b'heta, even if he cooked on Shabbos with a heter. What's a heter on Shabbos to cook? Could go into Bishop Shas Lechayla. For example, he cooked for a person who's dangerously ill. He cooked for him on Shabbos. So now, what's the din on Matzah Shabbos? Mikol Mokim Asa Lebari Gam B'Yom Tov Rishon. Even a healthy person cannot even eat this meat now on Sunday, which is Yom Tov. Yeah. Again, if you cooked for a sick person on Shabbos, who's dangerously ill, you cannot eat, a healthy person cannot eat those leftovers. Nor can he eat them on Matzah Shabbos if it's a Yom Tov. The ain Shabbos mechan Yom Tov, you're not allowed to prepare on Shabbos for Yom Tov. In another case, let's say you had a piece of meat that was cooked by b'mezid by a Jew on Shabbos, which is asa to eat now on Shabbos, and it got mixed up with other pieces of meat now. A little cube of cholent that he cooked, and he ended up dropping it into the cholent, it got mixed up. He cooked the piece of meat and it fell into a cholent with other pieces of meat. And you don't know which is which now. There's no din of bittul. We don't say that this little piece gets bittul in the rest of them, and you can't benefit from that whole mixture. Since after Shabbos it will become permitted to others, even the one that was cooked on Shabbos by this person is mutter to everyone after Shabbos. So now we've got a principle. There's a concept called darshish matirin when it comes to the halachas of bittul. If something is going to become mutter without relying on bittul, you're not allowed to rely on bittul. Right? So something like basar chalav, of course, it's not going to be mutter. But certain things like here, where it will be mutter, if you just wait the course of time until after Shabbos, we don't allow you to rely on bittul, and therefore the whole chon that the piece of meat fell into is asa, not butter even in a thousand. That which you find the opposite in Yodea, Magen Avraham's got a difficulty to try to resolve it. Chavastas disagrees with Magen Avraham. Okay, that's an iron chum for some Marmakomus. The call there, almost finished. The call there, Lemem Vashalat's mind. The whole dinner is applicable to the person himself, the cook himself. But for other people, everyone says it is Dosh Matin, it will become mutter after Shabbos. The only question is the guy himself, because it will never be mutter to him. But since for others it will be mutter after Shabbos, you do not have bittul for Dosh Matin. Something will be naturally permitted later, you don't rely on bittul. And almost finished now. Siv cotton vav b'shoyig. If you cook b'shoyig, it's offered to everyone on Shabbos and mutter to everyone after Shabbos. On to page 266. Almost finished. As I said a few times, shagag b'din oishacha. What's called shoyig? A person who made a mistake in the din, he didn't know that this that cooking is offered, or he forgot. He didn't know, he forgot. It's all called Shegeg. Tivkon Zayin, Gam Lachem, everyone can have it. Right, everyone cannot have it on Shabbos, but everyone can have it after Shabbos. Right, not me. Right, he neighbor Gemara. Now here's the punchline of the Mishnah Berurah. Don't miss this part. He neighbor Gemara pligi beinyan shegeg umevid. There's actually a three-way machlekes in the Gemara. He doesn't bring all of it, but in terms of this din of someone cooked umevid, someone cooked b'shegeg. What's the din? We have Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and a third opinion which he's not mentioning. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, machlekes. But das Shulchan Aruch, who das Rabbi Yehuda. The opinion of Shulchan Aruch is like the more stringent opinion, which is Rabbi Yehuda. Shekeniski muha rifa rambam agoinim, because all these opinions, rifa rambam agoinim, all agree to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. And that's what we found in the Shulchan Aruch in terms of Mezen and Shogig. Vagra hiskim abeyur l'shitas ha-toifres v'siyatam de paskik Rabbi Meir. However, the Vilna Gaon agrees to the psak of the Tosfos and those that follow Tosfos that we paskin more leniently, which is like Rabbi Meir. What does Rabbi Meir hold? Different to the Shulchan Aruch. The b'mevid asa ben lai ben lachirim ad masi shas. If a person cooked intentionally, according to Rabbi Meir, person cooked intentionally on Shabbos, it's asa to everyone until after Shabbos. Or b'shoigig, but if he cooked b'shoigig inadvertently, mutar gam lai miyad, everyone's allowed to eat it immediately. We didn't see it at all in the Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Meir holds, if you cooked b'shoigig on Shabbos, anyone can eat it straight away. Right? Of a mocha matzeirich, and in a situation of need, if it's meichal zeh b'bishol b'shoigig, you can rely on this, when it comes to a person who cooked b'shoigig, you can rely on this opinion in a time of need and say that the food is muti immediately. It's a major enough kamina here. Person accidentally cooked on Shabbos, right? And it's a situation of need, whatever that might be. How you judge that is ask the local rabbi, right? As Rav Kanevsky said, you have to judge on his merits. You have a case where a person cooked b'shoigig or did a malacha b'shoigig, and it's a situation of need. Whatever that means, you're making a sheva bochus, and the main dish of the sheva bochus is the cholent, and it was accidentally cooked on Shabbos. So according to this, you could be lenient, like Rabbi Meir, and say the food is mutter immediately. That would be one example. That's good.